And let's begin our study. Father, we thank you for this morning and for giving us another opportunity of being in your house and receiving your word. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we're about to get into your word, that you would give me the grace, Lord, to share, and that you would give my family the grace to receive. And Lord, that you would be glorified through it all, Lord. You've given me a special word this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you would just help me to share it. Help me to just to pour out my heart. Help me to leave nothing, Lord, and to give everything this morning, and that we can leave this place just with a greater passion for the glory and for the supremacy of God. Lord, this morning I ask and pray that you would just light our hearts afresh on fire for Jesus Christ, and that we would not leave the same way we came, but that we would leave more passionate, more on fire, more in love with Jesus Christ. And all God's family says, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we're going to be reading verses 10 through 12 for our study this morning. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 12. And the verses and some of the major points are in your outline, so you can also follow me there. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 12 reads as follows. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all." How many can say amen? Amen. This morning, I've titled our study, "The Supremacy of God in All Things." The Supremacy of God in All Things. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is simply a statement of faith, it opens up with the timeless declaration, "What is the chief end of man?" What is the chief end of man? And they answer with these words: "Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." What is the chief end of man? What's mankind's ultimate purpose? What is the sole reason for the existence of mankind? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says this: "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." All of mankind, all of creation, whether visible or invisible, was created for the glory and honor of God. And thus, because of that, God must have supremacy in all things. God must be supreme. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the supremacy of God in all things. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to stir afresh within you a passion for the glory of God. A passion for the glory of God. A passion for God. And my desire is that this morning, through the proclamation of the Word of God and through the study of the Word of God, my desire is that the Holy Spirit would light and torch glaciers on fire. Let me share with you what I mean by that phrase. My desire is that this morning the Holy Spirit would remove the ice from our hearts. That the Holy Spirit would remove the frost from our souls towards God. And that this morning we would be burning white hot with passion and zeal for the glory and for the supremacy of God Almighty. That this morning, every single one of us, including myself, that we would be boiling hot for the glory of God. In Matthew, and you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus tells us, as he describes the last days, as he begins to describe characteristics of the last days, he tells us, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And so the Lord tells us that one of the chief characteristics before he returns, before he comes back, is that the love of many will grow cold. In other words, that glaciers, that frost, that ice will begin to appear in the hearts of mankind. And as you look around the world today, that's exactly what you see taking place. The love of many is growing cold. And the love of many is growing cold for one another, for their fellow man. But most importantly, you see that the love of many is growing cold towards God. A lot of people are growing cold towards God. A lot of people are apathetic, indifferent, uninterested towards their Creator. And listen to this. We don't have to focus outside of the church in the world, although it's going on out there. But within the church, many churches, many Christians, their love for God is growing cold. Their passion, their fire for the glory of God, for the supremacy of God, for the Son of God, for the Word of God, is growing cold. It's dying out. It's frosting, icy. There's no passion. There's no love. There's no fire. But like the church in Ephesus there in Revelation 2, verse 4, many churches and many Christians have left their first love. And God is no longer supreme in their life. And family, we need to be careful. We need to be cautious concerning growing cold, concerning drying up, concerning becoming dead in our relationship with God. You know, me personally, I am personally scared to death of growing cold. I'm terrified of the routine. And that's why you constantly hear me talking about it. Be careful, be cautious, be wary of the routine. I hate the thought of everything becoming a ritual in a routine in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm terrified of it. I'm scared of it. I want to be white hot for Jesus Christ. I want to be passionate for the glory of God. I want to be zealous for the supremacy of God in all things. I want my heart, my soul, my spirit to be set on fire for the glory of God. And this morning I want to talk to you about the supremacy of God in all things. I want to talk to you about keeping God ultimate, keeping God supreme, keeping God first in all things, in every aspect of your life, in every aspect of your family, in every aspect of your work, in your home, keeping God supreme in all things. And to do it, to do this, I want to share with you three things. Three things, and then we're finished, concerning the supremacy of God in all things. And amen, my heart desire is that the Holy Spirit would torch some glaciers tonight, this morning. Because there's some glaciers amongst us. There's some glaciers within us. What's a glacier? If that's a difficult word for you to understand, it's just a big body of ice. A big body, a large chunk of ice. And within our hearts, within our minds, there could be glaciers towards God. And this morning, they need to be torched by the Holy Spirit. They need to be lit on fire. And we need to leave this morning white hot for Jesus Christ. And so I want to share with you three things. And they're in your notes. You can follow me very, very easily. And the first thing I want us to look at is this. We must see the supremacy of God. And turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. And it's in your notes if you want to follow me in that way. No problem. Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 1 to 3. And the first thing we want to look at is we must see the supremacy of God. This is what it says. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." How many can say amen to that? That's a good scripture. So first, we must see the supremacy of God. What do I mean by that? Simply this. We need to see and understand that God is supreme. That God is glorious, that God is awesome. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah tells us that when King Uzziah died, that he saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, exalted and glorified. And notice, Isaiah doesn't tell us that he saw God sleeping or slumbering. Notice that he doesn't tell us that he saw a God that was nervous, that was shooken by the course of history. That he didn't see a God who was detached or uninterested from the affairs of mankind. But the prophet tells us that he saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, actively exclusively reigning supreme over all of his creation. That's what he saw. Isaiah saw God for who he truly is. And this morning, how we need to see God for who he truly is. How each of us need a fresh vision of the supremacy and the glory of God. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, he's already with the Lord, but his writings still impact many people by the grace of God. He said this in one of his books: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. This morning, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And family, it's absolutely vital and essential that we see God for who he truly is. This morning, we need a proper biblical view of God. We need to see the supremacy of God in all things. May we not minimize God, as so many do. May we not reduce God to our level, as so many do. But we must see him supreme and ultimate, glorious and wonderful, transcendent and magnificent, high and lifted up, exalted. This morning we must recognize that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is within them. That he's gracious and merciful. That he's loving and compassionate. That he's holy and righteous. That he's powerful and mighty. That he's eternal and infinite. That he's personal and he's intimate. That he's the unrivaled, unequaled, unmatched, true and living God. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. And there's none like him, nor will there ever be anybody like him. That's what the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 46, verse 9. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Did you hear that, family? I am God. This is what God says. And there is no other. There is none like me. I'm in a category of my own. There's none like me. And this morning, we got to see that. We got to recognize that. We need to understand the supremacy of God. That's the first thing we got to do. We need to see the supremacy of God. Don't see God through a microscope, but see God through a telescope. See that he is infinitely great, infinitely grand, and infinitely glorious. You know, I'm going to share something with you. When I was young, I used to sing a song. Many of you sang it, if you're around my age or a little younger. And the song went like this: twinkle, twinkle, little stars, how I wonder what you are. How many of you are familiar with that song? Twinkle, twinkle, little stars, how I wonder what you are. I don't know the rest of the song, but I used to sing that song. But then something happened. I'm going to confess to you. I got a little older. My dad bought me a telescope. And I looked into this telescope. And I realized that the stars weren't little. But they were great. They were enormous. They were huge. And even scientists tell us they're white hot. They weren't little. They weren't little stars. But they're bigger than planet Earth. And oftentimes, we approach God with the same attitude. Twinkle, twinkle, little God, how I wonder what you are. And this morning, you need to look through the telescope of the Word of God. And you need to look through the telescope of creation. And you need to realize that our God is not little. Our God is not tiny. Our God is not small. But He's infinitely great. He's infinitely grand. He's infinitely glorious. He is supreme. And this morning, we must see the supremacy of God in all things. How many can say amen to that? And if you like that song, it's okay. You can still sing it, and don't feel bad if you teach it to your children. But one day they're going to realize stars are not small. There's no little star. And hopefully this morning we realize God is not small, but God is great. God is grand. God is glorious. And we need to see that. Let's look at the second thing. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 6. Exodus 20, verses 3 and 6. And this morning, the second thing we're going to look at is this. We must submit to the supremacy of God. We must submit. Not only must we see the supremacy of God, but we must submit to the supremacy of God. This is what it says, Exodus 20, verse 3 and 6. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. How many could say amen to that? So second, we must submit to the supremacy of God. What do I mean by that? Simply this. We need to make God supreme and preeminent in our lives. God must not simply be a hobby, okay? God must not simply be a pastime or an afterthought. God must not be relegated to Sunday or when I get home from work or when I have a day off. God must be first, priority number one, the top passion of our life. Listen, God must be God in every detail of our lives. He must be supreme, exclusively ruling and reigning over our lives. He must be God. And here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, the first commandment that God gave to his people was this. You shall have no other gods before me. How we need to hear that this morning. How we need to hear that within the church in today's age. You shall have no other gods before me. In essence, listen to this, okay? This is what God was telling his people. He was telling them this by that command. I and I alone must be supreme, absolute, and ultimate in your life. I must reign exclusively and chiefly in your hearts, in lives, and there must be no rival or no competitions. I must be the sole object of your worship, of your energy, and of your praise. That's what God was telling his people. And this morning, God declares the same commandment to every single one of us. You shall have no other gods before me. What is he telling us? I alone must be supreme in your life. I alone must be ultimate in your life. I alone must be absolute in your life. And this morning, God commands us. Okay? He doesn't ask us. He doesn't ask us. He doesn't make it optional. But this morning, God commands me, Adam Nahar, and you to submit to his supremacy in all things. To submit to his supremacy in his time, in your time. To submit in his supremacy in the way you exercise your talents. To submit to his supremacy in the way you spend your treasure. Every detail of our lives. Every relationship within our lives. Every decision made in our lives must be submitted to the supremacy of God. God must be supreme. And this is what we need to do this morning, including myself. There's no one that this is optional. This morning, we must remove the idols from our hearts. This morning, we must remove the competition from our lives. This morning, we must remove the distractions from our thoughts. Anything and everything that is trying to compete with the supremacy of God in our lives must be removed. It has to be tossed. It has to be totally abandoned. And God must be supreme in every inch of our lives. God must solely, exclusively, absolutely reign supreme. Like what Paul says in Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And this morning we got to submit to the supremacy of God. And this morning, I charge you, I beseech you, in the name of Jesus Christ, be obsessed with God. Be passionate for God. Be zealous about God. Allow God to consume you. Be obsessed. Are you obsessed with God? Are you obsessed? Is he the chief thought of your mind? Is he the chief love of your heart? Is he the chief priority of your life? Be obsessed with God. Oh, be passionate. Be white hot for Jesus Christ. Nobody is more important. You understand that? Nobody, even me, even a wife or a husband, even a child, nobody is more important. Nobody. Nothing. Nothing is more interesting. Nothing. No movie. No video game. No book. No party. No Disneyland, nothing, nothing is more interesting than God. Listen to this. Nowhere is more delightful. Nowhere is more joyful. Nowhere is more pleasant. Nowhere. Nowhere. But God. But His presence. Give God the proper place in your life. Make God preeminent. You shall have no other gods before me. I must reign supreme. I'm a jealous God. He tells us this morning, I'm a jealous God. I'm not going to share you with sports. I'm not going to share you with money. I'm not going to share you with any other relationship. I'm not going to share you with sleep. I'm a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. And we need to submit. I need to submit to the supremacy of God in all things. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the third and final thing. First, we must see the supremacy of God. Second, we must submit to the supremacy of God. But third, we must be satisfied in the supremacy of God. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verses 12 and 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And this is what it says. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Third and finally, I want to share this. We must be satisfied in the supremacy of God. Listen, family, listen. You are most satisfied when God is most supreme in your life. Let me say that again, okay? You are most satisfied when God is most supreme in your life. You are most happy. You are most content. You are most joyful when God is most glorified, honored, and supreme in your life. And it's so sad to think that so many people are deceived. And this is what they're deceived in. They think that satisfaction will come by making the television supreme. They think that satisfaction will come by making money supreme. They think that satisfaction will come by making a relationship supreme. They think that satisfaction will come by making pleasure and entertainment supreme. And the masses, the multitudes, are committing the same evil that the nation of Israel committed here in Jeremiah chapter 2. They're forsaking God, the fountain, the spring of living water, and they've turned to other things, which Jeremiah refers to them as broken cisterns, to find their satisfaction and their joy. They've looked at God, who is the all-satisfying, living fount of waters. And they look to God and they say, no, thank you. No. No, thank you. I'm okay. I'm good. And they've turned to television. They've turned to sports. They've turned to money. They've turned to vacations. and computer programs, and they say, yes, yes, give me satisfaction, give me joy, give me pleasure. The masses, the multitude, they've turned their backs on fresh, cool, living waters. And they've chosen to drink filthy, dirty waters. And they think they're going to be satisfied. They think their thirst is going to be quenched. They think they're going to find joy. And I just got to say this. That is insane. That's ludicrous. That's foolishness. How foolish can we be? How foolish can I be? Can anything satisfy like God? Can anyone bring joy like God? Can anyone fill the heart like God? Absolutely not. We're foolish when we try to seek out our joy and satisfaction and anything else except the true and living God. Well, we're foolish. It's insane when we make anything else supreme except for God Almighty. And that's why, if you can look at me once again, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12, that's why the Lord says, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be very desolate. Let me share with you what is going on in verse 12. The heavens are looking down upon us and they're appalled. They're astonished. And this is what they're saying. You fools! You fools! How can you forsake God? How can you forsake the true and living God? How can you forsake the fountain of living waters? How can you forsake the author of life? You fools! How can you forsake him for broken cisterns? For dirty water? For muddy water? How can you forsake the fountain of living waters? And all of the elect angels, all of the holy angels, they're looking down upon us and they're shocked. They're dumbfounded that we can forsake the true and living God for dead idols. They look at us, and I'm going to say this with love and with grace, but with truth. They look at us watching TV for hours and hours and hours, and they're appalled. They're terrified. They're speechless. How could you forsake God for a box? They look at us sleeping in. They look at us spending more time with other relationships than with God. They look at us bored in church. They look at us sleeping at church. They look at us on the internet instead of praying. And the heavens and the elect angels are shocked. And they're appalled. And they're astonished. And they're saying, how could you commit such an evil? How could you forsake God, the fountain, the all-quenching, all-satisfying fountain of living waters? How could you turn to dirty water, muddy water, filth that cannot satisfy? And all of heaven are speechless. They're astonished. they're appalled at mankind. That we would be more interested in some stupid paper with dead presidents' faces on it than God. Now, don't get me misunderstood. Don't misunderstand me, family, okay? We need a work. And we need to make a living. And you can glorify God through that, okay? God can be supreme through your work. God can be supreme through your school. God can be supreme in your family, in your relationships. And that's okay, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting a legalistic trip on you. But what I'm saying is they must not be supreme. But God must always be supreme. And everything is just a byproduct of the supremacy of God. I enjoy working because God supplied me with work. Amen. I love my wife. I'm devoted to my wife because God blessed me with my wife. I love my children. I love church. I love for my friendships. I love relationships. I love my ministry because it's a gift from God. So you understand that you can enjoy life, but make God supreme in all things. You understand what I'm saying, family? Amen. So you are satisfied in the supremacy of God in all things. In all things. You can enjoy your days, whatever you're doing, because God's supreme. Because God's first. Because you live and have your being in God. You can enjoy vacation. Not because vacation is supreme, but because God is blessing you with that time. To enjoy Him. To enjoy His creation. Amen? You can enjoy the things that God has blessed you with. Because they've come from Him. And He provides. He's our shepherd. And we shall not want. But what we need to be careful is when we turn our back against God. And we try to find satisfaction in other things. And when they become supreme. And when they become first and foremost in our lives. And when we live and when we wake up. And when we work for other things except for God. That's where we got to be careful. Because that becomes idolatry. An idol is anything that is ultimate and supreme in your life. And we live in a country, we live in a generation where it's filled with idol worshipers. And we need to be careful because we must only serve and worship God in Him alone. And He must be supreme. And I want to end just by saying this. The only one who can satisfy your soul, bring joy to your heart, and bring abundant life to your life is God. And so make Him supreme. Make Him supreme. Enjoy Him. Seek Him. Fellowship with Him. Be obsessed with God. Be passionate for God. You know, if you read the Psalm, you're going to find a phrase over and over and over again. And the phrase is this. The psalmist says to God, God, You are my portion. God, You are my inheritance. God, You are my reward. And the psalmist, this is what he was saying. He says, God, I don't need anybody. Anything else but You, God. You're my portion, God. God, You're my joy. You're my inheritance. You're my reward. And God, if I have You, I don't need nothing else. I don't want nothing else. I'm completely and fully satisfied with You, God. That's the attitude we need to have. He's enough. He's all you need. He is sufficient. And this morning, man, by the grace of God, by the authority of the Scripture, and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I charge you, make God supreme in all things. In all things. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. And may the Holy Spirit torch those glaciers. May the Holy Spirit light on fire the ice, the frost from our hearts. And may we be lit on fire for Jesus Christ. May we rekindle our hearts for the glory of God. And that's what some of us need to do this morning. I'll be honest with you. The Lord's put it in my heart. Some of us, if not all of us, to a certain degree, we need to return to our first love. We need to go back where we were passionate for God, where God consumed everything about us, where God was the obsession of our life. Oh, how easy it is to be distracted by the things of this world. How easy it is to be distracted by the trials of life, the burdens of everyday living. How easily are we distracted? How easily are we taken off the path when we were passionate, when we were obsessed, when we were on fire for God? We got to return, family. We got to return. We got to just get away from the routine. We got to get away from religion. We got to get away from ritual. And we just got to be white hot for Jesus Christ. Listen, family, you're either ice cold or you're white hot. But there's no lukewarm. There's no I'm gray, the gray area. There's no I'm in the middle. Ice cold, white hot. This morning, we need to beg the Holy Spirit to set our hearts on fire for Jesus Christ. And that we would be white hot for Jesus. And that He would be supreme in all things. Will you pray that with me this morning? Will you agree with me this morning? Will you approach the throne of grace with me this morning? And we can pray and we can beg God. We can plead with God. Set my heart on fire, Lord. Torch the glaciers. Torch the ice. Torch the snow, the frost. Make me burn with passion for Your glory. Make me be white hot, Lord, for Your supremacy. Pray with me this morning, that prayer, family. If yes, let's stand. We're going to end with a prayer. I ran out of time, but I'm going to end with some prayer with you. And let's just ask the Lord to do that work in our heart. Father.